timeless wisdom of bhakti, he offers a bridge between ancient tradition and the spiritual needs of the modern soul. His teachings invite an immersive experience of sacred sound, inner stillness, and divine connection, awakening a deeper sense of presence and devotion. He is the founder of the Living Name Retreats, where he offers practical methods for deepening one's connection to the divine through chanting. And our title of our session today is Mantra and Meditation, the Journey to Stillness and Divine Connection. If you are ready to get started with our speaker, please throw your arms in the air and loudly chant, Hari Bol! Welcome, Satchinandana Swami.
It's so nice to address all of you here from sacred India. We just had a Living Name retreat. I remember only yesterday night we sat all under a starlit night before a beautiful kunda, a little lake, and we were chanting our hearts out. From time to time, the monkeys made sounds in the background. They were also chanting. And I saw many tortoises coming out of the water. But the greatest, let us say, spiritual event for everyone was when they were able to leave the mind with its constant thought traffic and enter an area of stillness where the loud chatter of the mind stopped, and then even go further into the stillness where they found the origin of the stillness. I can only describe the mantra meditation experiences which we did with something I call above the clouds. Now, this is not an advertisement for an airline. it's a concept which I would like to share with you. When you start your flight, you are under the clouds. You see the rain, perhaps you experience storms and so on. But as you go higher with your airplane, you come into the clouds and into an area of stillness. And if you continue to fly, you pierce through the cloud carpet into an area where you meet the sun and the sun rays, and it's usually a very peaceful experience. So in meditation, many people know that meditation relaxes our mind. It helps us to withdraw from the outer noise, so to say. But what I would like to share with the world is a state of being that lies even beyond stillness. It is that state which is coming when we meet the Lord of all that is. It's almost like meeting the sun and bathing in the sun rays. It's a very beautiful experience to go through mantra meditation into this inner zone, so to say. So you leave the world behind, you enter into an area of stillness, and then you move beyond the stillness to a meeting, a rendezvous with the Supreme Lord, who does and undoes the world, but who is beyond his all-powerful aspect, a loving, delightful, joyful presence that invites you to come into his presence. I would like to do with you such a meditation towards the end, but first of all, I would like us all to explore a little bit this concept of moving inside and meeting inside various states of realization. In the Upanishads, there is a very nice verse which says, which asks a question: who observes the world? Answer: the I. Who observes the I? The mind. Who is it that observes even the mind? The intelligence. And who observes the intelligence? The Atman, or the true self. So you can see, you go deeper and deeper, you go more and more inside, and at the end, you come to the true self, who's beyond the intelligence, beyond your various concepts and plans, who is beyond the physical organs like the eye. It is the ultimate, it's the witness. But now comes the question: who is it that observes the immortal self? The answer is, it is Vasudev Krishna, one of the many names of Krishna, of God. So to connect with him, there is always an invocation that is chanted before spiritual gatherings. And I would like to chant it, and if you can follow, I will chant very slowly so that you can all recite this mantra. But I request you to sit in an upright, attentive position. You might like to roll a little bit the shoulders back. Take a deep breath in. And then I will chant the mantra, and you kindly repeat 3 times. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All of us together, deep inhale. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. And one last time. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I like this mantra very much because of its universal appeal. It says, I offer my obeisances to the all-present Lord. This is not a particular Lord of the Hindus or the this domination or that domination. All-present, everywhere, all-embracing. In every atom and in every heart. So that, Lord, obeisances are offered with this mantra. So, again, as we chant this mantra, we pass through three stations. First, with the invocation Om, we calm and center our mind. We go into a realm of inner stillness, and then we journey forth and come to a living and totally enlivening connection with the Supreme All-Present Lord. In this process, we may shed various false conceptions of ourselves. That's very, very important. Someone who practices yoga or mantra meditation or any kind of spiritual process of inner transformation and then comes home and kicks his dog because he was lying at the threshold of the house and disturbing or blocking the entrance, he may still be a little bit in the false ego, in the ego fix. So you need to shed this. Now I would like to tell you a story, a wisdom story, because that's how in the Indic traditions, knowledge is often presented. There was once a princess who, on her 18th birthday, had a great birthday celebration where she danced the last dance with the prince of the neighboring countries. Rumors were underway that the two kingdoms would be joined through the marriage of the princess and the prince. They were very happy about this. Then, around 2 o'clock in the morning, the princess went up into her bedchamber to sleep. And as she was lying down on the bed, she heard a most disturbing voice. The voice said, "Let me free. Finally, let me free." The princess jumped out of bed, pulled her dagger, ready to confront the intruder. And she asked, "Who are you that is calling?" "I am your true self." "Nonsense," responded the princess. "I am myself." But the voice came back and said, "No, what you think is yourself is only one of the many masks that you wear that cover the self." The princess was very upset with this turn of events. She ran out of her bedroom and out of the castle into the park. And finally, after running for a considerable amount of time, she found an old tree and leaned against it and fell into a somewhat disturbed sleep. In the morning, she awoke. The first thing she noticed is that there was a movement in the underbrush. And a saintly looking person walked out towards her and asked her, "Have you heard the voice?" "First of all, who are you?" asked the princess. "And what's going on? And how is there what is it called? A complicity? Or are you all working together against me?" And the saint said, "I can see from your state of mind that you heard the voice. Come with me, we have work to do." And the saint brought her to a crystal clear lake and said, "My dear princess, look into the lake and tell me what you see." So the princess climbed on a stone or sat down on a stone, looked down. She expected to see her beautiful face, but as she looked inside, she saw a face that was so full of vanity and arrogance that she said, "No, I don't want to be that." Saint smiled and he grabbed into the water like this, took the face out and blew it away. "Look again." She looked again and now she saw a very prideful face, herself in her arrogant and pride moments. And again the saint asked, "Do you want to be that?" "No," she said. And again he removed that face. "My dear everyone, on that day they removed 43 faces, 43 masks that were covering the self of the princess. And so it went for many days and a couple of months until the saint said, "Today is your most important day." "Oh," said the princess, who by now felt very light and happy. She could also have founded a happy princess yoga studio. She was so happy and light. And she said, "But I don't see any difficulty. We have done a lot of work and a lot of false identifications have been shared. Don't be so sure. What you will see today," said the saint, "is something frightening. And you will only be able to dispel this illusion or this what you will see if you find the answer to the question I will ask you. I will not ask you, do you want to be that? I will ask you, tell me, who are you? And what are you meant to do in your true identity?" The princess was ready. She looked into the lake and first she saw her beautiful, clear face with such a nice and light expression, but then the face distorted and she saw a very ugly face with strong eyes that looked at her with a piercing glance, and out of these eyes came an endless number of new faces. What she saw is in Sanskrit terms known as ahankara, the false ego, or a more literal translation, ahang, I, kara, maker, the eye maker, the identity producer, the that is constantly at work as long as we are not in touch with our true self. Who are you? First, there was no answer. The princess was in shock. But then, almost as if listening through the corridors of time, time that reached back very far, she heard a, at first, feeble voice that grew in strength as she gave the voice space. The voice said, I am an eternal soul. More specific, princess, who are you? I'm, said the voice, I am an eternal soul and a servant of God. And the moment she could say this, identity and purpose to be a servant, a loving servant, something happened, my dear people. And I do not know exactly how to interpret what happened, but all of a sudden her face was wet. Now, was it because the false ego, the false face, the eye maker burst open and it exploded, and the water was just coming into her face? Or perhaps it were her own tears, her tears of relief, her tears of divine inspiration, of being inspired divinely. This is an ancient story which makes a very simple point that under all our masks, all the faces by which the world knows us and which we try to maintain to get through the day, there is a very, very pure soul. And further, the soul doesn't stand alone without any backing. That soul is supported by its origin and its how to say it, the one of which the soul is a part. So in Bhakti Yoga, we are trying to wake up from these false identifications, to put our identity kit with which we build our identity. I'm a German, I'm a Swami, I'm a mystically inclined person, or also on these different parts which build our identity. They are in the identity kit which every one of us carries proudly around. Sometimes not proudly, tiredly. We are tired of it, but we have no other thing. So it means to take all this away and to awaken in one's original natural position. And the Bhakti tradition does this awakening to the one's true self through what is called Panchanga Bhakti, a fivefold Bhakti process that bring about a transformation of the heart. So, yes, the idea of Bhakti is that the spark joins the fire. When the spark is happily dancing in the fire as part of the whole. It is energetic. And the self is full of, is in connection with the divine, its divine source. It's full of, eternity, sat, chit, that it means transcendental knowledge, and also something like ananda, bliss. These are the qualities of God, eternal being, causeless knowledge. It is not acquired knowledge, in other words, it's inherent. And bliss. And yes, the bhakti yogi says, when I'm connected, I'm alive. When I'm disconnected, I'm like the spark out of the fire. Pat, pat, makes, and it becomes black charcoal. My dear everyone, I would now like to take you into an experience of this yourself. I personally believe that the mind is not the best instrument to understand spiritual knowledge. I hope this doesn't sound like a war cry to the academic institutions which host us today. But there are other means through which we can obtain knowledge, especially when it comes to knowledge of the true self. So meditation is one of the ways. You can do this meditation in several ways. Either you do it with closed eyes and with an almost yogic way of disassociating you from thoughts, but you can also make it as an open eye meditation where you just lean back and relax and hear me talking you through the steps. But in any case, I would like you all to participate actively. Lean a little bit outside of your usual thought about yourself and lean into a transcendental practice, a spiritual practice, and see what emerges from the stillness that we will enter. Whispers from the lake of stillness. Let me just adjust this here, and then first I request you to sit straight. It's all right to sit on the chair. It's absolutely good. Just make sure that your spine is in an erect way, not slumping back like this. Yes, I see some of you are getting ready. Others are sitting perhaps down on the ground. Also a good idea. And good. Please, in your mind, set an intention that I'm now going on an inner journey to explore what is inside. Release any distractions. If you have a mobile phone on, it's good to switch it off now. And release any concerns from your mind which you have perhaps about paying the rent or anything like this, and create a space where you can explore an inner journey that brings you in contact with the self. We start in a very simple way by becoming aware of our breathing. Just notice the rise of the your chest when you inhale. And notice the fall of your chest as you exhale. Bring your entire attention on your in and exhale. Connect your mind with your breath. Walk with your breath. Each time you breathe in, be aware that you're breathing in. And the same thing. Each time you exhale, walk with your exhale. We will do this a few times now without me guiding you. If your mind should wander, bring it back to your breath. Your breath is your bridge that leads you inside. First class. Now kindly relax your breathing. Return to a normal way of breathing. But notice how your mind has settled into a space of inner calm. Next, release or let go everything that is happening at present in your life. Your job and your roles, let go. Any plans for the future, any desires for the moment, let go. Your relationships, perhaps to people, partners, or your household animals, your pets, your relationships, for the moment, let go. And even your body. Sense freedom, vastness, and peace rise within you. Let the peace of just being fill you, expand within. And then asked the old question, who am I really? Or more concrete, who am I when everything that is not me is gone? once again, who am I when everything that is not me is gone? Who am I in my essence? As you are asked, draw your attention deeper and more inward. Notice these moments of an inner stillness. And in this stillness, we are placing a prayer to the one with a thousand names. O Lord, you are merciful. You are kind. You are not turning away, but you are always turning your attention to those who seek it. There is no one on earth who has the power to deliver me. O merciful, kind Lord, it is your declaration that you will free everyone who turns their face in your direction. I have now given up everything and come into your holy presence. O Lord, I am your eternal servant, and you are my eternal maintainer and protector. For a moment, just rest in this state of being, this awareness. Remain present to it and just be. We will now end our meditation. Take a few deep breaths. Move your hands, maybe like rubbing them together. A good thing to do to come back to room awareness is to put your hands before your eyes like you do in palming. And then bring your hands away from your eyes and look into the lines of your hands as if you're seeing them for the very first time in your life. Thank you very much, and I would like to end my remarks or my little session by telling you what happened a few days back when I drove with a good friend of mine. He's a local here from Vrindavan, India. He has a small little car, so we drove to a place where I had to deliver a lecture, and we were going through a few of these side lanes, you know, very small, they call them gullies, very small lanes. And all of a sudden he had to hammer down his foot on the brake. The car came to a sliding halt because there were three or four little children playing with little bottles right on the street. And he laughed and said, Bacha means small children, typical. And then he became serious. He said, Bacha's anxiety, nay, little children have no anxiety because they know their father and mother is watching over them. And yes, when we looked, I think to our left, there were these elders and they were looking over the children. And he said, we here in Vrindavan also do not know any anxiety. Because just like these little children who play even on a dangerous road, I mean, dangerous, it was not a real heavy road, but anyways, roads are roads, the cars go there. Even when they play on the road, they know that the eyes of the divine are upon them. And perhaps this is easy when we let go of our many roles, of our many false identifications, of our identity kit with its complicated content, and return to our pure essence, which is not yet entangled in these big narratives and stories that our egos make about ourselves. And this turning, as I said, is done through these bhakti processes. One is the chanting of mantras. Another is just having saintly association at satsang, that is exchange about wisdom and realizations which one has made. Yet another one is studying and meditating about the wisdom text of sacred scripture, and then visiting holy places that are imbued with certain shakti, and worshipping through acts of worship the divine. So you may forget all this easily. This is a huge science, really, and we just had a Sanskrit scholar in the retreat who was speaking for 5 days from the Sanskrit text. He chanted in Sanskrit. But if I may leave you with a thought, and before I take any, I give back to Jack, and Jack will see how we continue with our time. Before I do this, I would like to offer you a very simple, perhaps essential process of the bhakti tradition. That is mantra meditation. In mantra meditation, as we opened our session with this, you just bind your mind or connect your mind with this sacred sound vibration. I'm sorry, it's just a mosquito who has arrived and is looking for fresh German blood. So I just wipe it away. So in mantra meditation, we bind and connect our minds to the sacred mantra, who becomes our guide to take us away from the many, many narratives and thought traffic, let me call it, and brings us first of all to the state of stillness. And from there, brings us into a divine connection. And only God knows what happens in that moment of divine connection. I thank you very much for patiently hearing. I hope it was inspiring for you. I do hope that some of the joy of this place in which I'm now since 2 weeks was seeping through the computer into your daily life. We feel very excited, very inspired, very calm here in the sacred place, and I wish the same for all of you. Thank you very much. Namaste. And over to you, Jack.
Namaste. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Beautiful, beautiful session. And definitely, we could feel the presence that you're coming in from Govardhan. And just a personal reflection before we open it up to Q&A. So if you have a question, raise your virtual hand or put it in the chat. Something I really appreciated about that meditation, it felt very healing. It felt very, I appreciated the stillness. And so for myself, being newer to Bhakti Yoga, where I'm engaging in the ecstatic kirtan and, you know, chanting a lot of mantra, which is a beautiful practice, I feel if I'm always focusing on chanting and always that, I just really appreciated the stillness of the space that you just created. And for, at least for me, that was a great reminder that that's an also important part of the practice. And I've heard, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but somebody said that you spend about 1 month per year in the fall and you go on complete retreat into, I don't know if it's complete solitude, but you spend a month just in contemplation and practice. And of course, the majority of us perhaps can't take a whole month to do that. But just those few moments for me, it was exactly what I needed today. So thank you so much for that, Maharaj.
Yes, it's a fact. I do this since perhaps 30 years now. Every year I take a month old out. I have written a poem about it. Lock me up in my little meditation hut. Throw the key away, because then finally I might be free. the road goes inside. Yes, and it's a fact. This inner the stillness is such a good launch pad, if you want to use a modern term, from where you can access these realms that lie beyond the mind and the intelligence. Yes, it is a very good launch pad. It's very, very nice. It's very, very, very much required on the spiritual path to come to the stillness and then feel real ecstasy. Otherwise, you might just put something on the disturbed mind and the surface, let us say, the surface is good, but the what is underneath is still rotten. It's almost like dentistry. When you have a rotten teeth, you might put a beautiful gold crown over it, but the pain will fester and increase even. So you must repair that restlessness, that constant thing. Yes, and then the gold crown will be much better.
Beautiful. Yeah, well, thank you so much for that experience. We're going to take some questions. And actually, Sarah and George had connected in advance, so I'm going to jump to them first, and then we're going to come to Harshit after. But let's bring Sarah and George on the line. Welcome, calling in from UK.
Hi, you knew we'd have a question. We've always got questions. Thanks very much for that. That was fantastic. It was really relaxing. I guess we're coming at Bhakti. We're pretty new. I mean, we've been in Habitat for a couple of years, but we're still quite new to this kind of idea of this. And I was really interested to hear the fivefold Bhakti process. In fact, that was going to be my question, but you've kind of gone through that. So that's the chanting of the mantra, satsang, studying the texts, visiting holy places and worshipping. Is that a good place to start? I mean, how would you just pick the one you're most interested in or do all of them simultaneously? What's a good place to begin?
Thank you very much. Follow your interest, really. Follow your inner passion, if you use. That's maybe a very intense word, but then you will find your treasures. We all have certain inclinations, and someone might have a studious nature and appreciate wisdom texts. Others might feel drawn to any acts of worship, and yes, follow your calling here. Trust your calling also.
Okay, we're doing, in fact, I bought my first mala, it arrived in the post today, so I'm going to be trying that later on, because that's something I haven't done officially. We've been doing quite a lot of sort of just chanting in our head, but we thought, if we're going to take this seriously, I better begin for real, so here I am.
Congratulations. That's a beautiful idea. You will see a path before you. And there's only one, keep this one rule, please. Make the mantras, sound the mantra, pronounce the mantra, and then remain absolutely present. It's like entering a train, step into it, and the train will take you where you're supposed to go. But if you jump out of the window, when your attention wanders, you won't reach the destination. The most important is stay with the mantra. Let the mantra guide you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
That's beautiful. Yeah, thank you so much for your response, Maharaj. And just to acknowledge you, Sarah and George, you know, they've been a part of our community for a few years now. And it's interesting what you said, Maharaj, where we all have a different inclination. So although they're just starting today, you could say, with chanting on the mala beads, they have a full copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they're reading it from start to finish, all of the purports, and they're committed to having the whole volume, all the volumes finished by this fall when they come to India with us. So that's a huge acknowledgement. And I think now this practice of japa will just be a beautiful complement, and just like a nourishing practice for you to bring into your life. So I just want to acknowledge you both. Thank you.
Thank you. We're doing our best.
Amazing. Well, let's send some love, high vibes to UK, Sarah and George. Thank you for it. Beautiful question. And let's see, we might sneak in one more here. We're doing our best to be in integrity on time, especially with Maharaj's time. But I know Harshit, welcome, my friend. Where are you calling in from?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I'm from India.
Beautiful. Which part?
Punjab.
Punjab. Beautiful. Sat Sri Akal.
So my question is, how can we feel Krishna's presence while chanting?
Wonderful. How can we feel Krishna's presence while chanting? There are three gates you must pass through, and then the altar will open and you see the Krishna. Or you feel Krishna. The first is your physical body. You must listen to the sound vibration with your ears as you produce the sound with your vocal cords. That's the first gate. Then you go deeper. You focus your mind on the mantra and learn to be absolutely present in the present moment. No planning. Later I will cook my roti and chapati. No, you are now present in the present moment. And the third is you go into your heart where you chant with a devotional attitude to enter a divine relationship, Harshit. And then the door of the altar will open, shoop, like you see in Indian temples. You go into the, you go through the first gates, the entry gates, and so on. And then you stand before the altar, and then at one stage the doors open, shoop, and there's darshan. The same holds true in mantra chanting. You focus the, you are pronouncing the mantra with your vocal cords and so on, and here with your ear. You focus with your mind and you bring your devotional heart, and then the doors will open and you will perceive the Lord in His divine presence. Thank you. Try it. Body, mind, heart. No? You need to go through these three. Wonderful.
Thank you, Maharaji.
Beautiful, beautiful question. Thank you so much, Harshit. I can see the acknowledgement in the chat. That was very helpful. So let's send some love, high vibes. Punjab, India, representing. Thank you so much, Prabhu. What do you think, Maharaj? It's time. Would you want one more? Or are you on a, how's your schedule? I want to be mindful.
I could take one more, and then I have to pack my things and go to Rishikesh.
Wow.
To Mother Ganga.
Yes.
Yes. Jack, I want to take everyone in the call with me, and then we take a collective bath in the Ganga. But that may have to wait for later. Let us do one more, and then we can slowly come to a natural.
Let's do that. Mm-hmm. Let's bring it to, we've got one more here. Priyanshi, Hare Krishna, welcome.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much for such a wonderful seminar. It really helped me. Maharaj, I'm hearing you from some time, and as you shared that such meditation before chanting, and it really helped me. So my question is, when I hear from you, I can improve my chanting, but when I don't hear, when I try to chant on my own, like just hearing and speaking the mantra, I tend to get distracted. So how can I deal with such distractions in the japa? And sorry, but I'm having another question too. That is, as you said that
maybe we stay with
about
one.
The basics.
Yeah,
maybe
which
we stay
just
with
the
one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. See, we all have to come to a stage in our life where we are not entirely dependent on the presence or you know, the recordings or whatever, the audio presence of a teacher or an inspiring speaker from outside. We have to awaken our own, let us say, determination, our own, I don't want to say the master inside, because, yeah, you could say it like this, but it's a little vague what that could mean. We have to awaken and understand spiritual life is my absolute responsibility. I can't shift it on anyone else. Everything else in this world can be done by someone else. There's only one single thing that lies entirely in your hands, in your hands only. And that is your own spiritual upliftment. And you have to awaken this, or wake up to this responsibility. I would like to end my comments and then give over to Jack for the concluding words. The best way of living is to bring our life in harmony with the best part of ourselves. Then we have the greatest and brightest future. Bring your life in harmony with that best part within yourself, and then you will have a very good voice all the time, which will say, your good name was Priyanshi. Then you have a very good part. This good part, this spiritual part, this part of a searcher will constantly guide you and say, Priyanshu or Priyanshi, now don't eat so much halava, better chant the Maha Mantra, and you know, like this. I'm trying to give an Indian example. Good. I thank you very much. Somewhere else in the internet world, we will meet again, or in real life, and then we can take your second question. Over to you. Over to you, Jack, but I feel very inspired here. Wow, so many hearts come from you.
Thank you so much. Beautiful response. And, you know, something that you said, Maharaj, that was that bhakti is when the spark joins the fire. And I love that analogy. I feel like that's what this conference can be. That's really our intention. We have these individual sparks engaging in our responsibilities in our lives, and this is our opportunity to tap into sadhu sangha, into community. And such a beautiful way to kick off this conference. We have, you know, over 40 speakers, and what an honor to kick off with yourselves and really get connected, at least for me, to my heart and grounded and still. And thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to crossing paths very soon.
Thank you very much, and I wish only all the best for all of you. I've heard about the impressive list of speakers and recommend you to join this inspiring conference where you can learn, to fly above the clouds, you know. All the best.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I'm just putting in the chat some links. If you'd like to stay connected with Satchinandana Swami, his website, his Instagram, his book, and we'll have that all in the notes underneath the recording as well for those that catch the recording. Thank you all for being here. All the beautiful souls from around the world, dozens of countries I saw in the chat.